You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. It's hour two on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes. We're down two Danettes, the back row, taking off the day to observe Yom Kippur. Although we did hear from McLovin, the Philadelphia Eagles version of McLovin, on should the Eagles have gone for it on fourth down, they were basically playing for a tie. And I thought in the moment, after they had the false start and they move it back 5 yards and then they're out of field goal range, and I thought, don't play for a tie. Go for it. You're playing at home, go for it. You're playing the Bengals, go for it. Well, Doug Peterson talked about this yesterday after the game in his decision, and he thought it was the right one to punt it away. He changed his opinion this morning, the head coach of the Eagles on WIP in Philadelphia.
But looking back on it, I would have probably gone the other way and taken a chance to, maybe a shot down the field and put the ball up in the air, looking back on it, and obviously it's, with clearer eyes this morning, a lot of things could have happened, right? DPI, illegal contact, could have been an offensive holding, could have been a sack. There's a lot of things that could go into those plays. But, looking back on it, it's probably what I would do.
No, you don't say that's probably. It's that I would have done that. Like, you have the benefit of hindsight here. I want him to sound committed. Hey, you know what? This is what I would have done. On further review, second opinion here, chance to think about it, I would have gone for it. You're playing the Bengals. You're at home. You need a spark. I would have done that. At least you're trying to win instead of settling for a tie. You have the Bills, Steelers, Titans, Packers, Bears, Seahawks, Chiefs. They're all undefeated. The Chiefs at 2-0. They've got the Ravens coming up tonight, who are undefeated as well. The Lakers Heat, that's your NBA Finals. Baseball's playoffs will begin on Tuesday. College football over the weekend. Oklahoma loses at home. LSU loses at home. And imagine Mike Leach. I've always had a great fondness, curiosity about Mike Leach. He was at Texas Tech. I remember New York Times Magazine. I think they did a cover story on the genius of Mike Leach and the spread offense and what he was doing and how he's changing the game. And he's bounced around to a couple of places. He was at Washington State, kind of harmless there. He'd put out, a decent quarterback or two occasionally, Gardner Minshew. And then, he'd pull off a couple of wins. But he didn't get a lot of coverage at Washington State. So then he goes to the SEC, and all of a sudden you're at Mississippi State. Now, it feels like there's two different tiers in the SEC. Like, you have the haves, and then you have the have-nots. You have Georgia, LSU, Alabama, and then you have the other schools there. And Mississippi State is lumped in there with Ole Miss and Missouri and some of these other schools. Occasionally you'll get a Dak Prescott at Mississippi State, but you might pull off a win or two. Occasionally you might surprise some people here. Well, you open up your SEC schedule. Your first game is at LSU. And your quarterback is a Stanford transfer, KJ Costello, who had the greatest passing performance an SEC quarterback has ever had. 623 yards, you beat LSU in Leach's debut and your quarterback's debut. And you do that on the road in a place that is not easy to win. Degree of difficulty? That's up there. But he's such a character. I think he had a quote that was something like, they told us we could play one of the top 10 teams in the NFL, so we decided we would play LSU. And they got the win, and they were the better team. They looked very impressive there. I was watching Texas against Texas Tech, and I'm going, okay, Texas Tech is going to win. I think they were up like 15, and I go, I tuned over to the LSU game. Like, I was trying to find a game that was competitive. And I bounce back and I go, wait a minute. What did Texas just do? They just won this game. That shocked me there. I was totally surprised with that. Oklahoma losing at home. I think they're up like 21-0. And Bob Stoops, the former Oklahoma head coach, his son catches a touchdown pass. I'm going, all right. Spencer Rattler and Oklahoma, they're going to dominate here and blow out K-State. All of a sudden, I see a score, bottom line. I go, oh, all right, making it interesting here. Oh, really making it interesting. And then I'd flip over and I go, How are they going to lose this game at home? Get ready for this. Now, I did watch Alabama against Missouri, and I actually felt bad for Missouri. That should have been a running clock and maybe just 10-minute quarters or something. But, you know, Alabama looked really impressive defensively there. You know, we're just easing into this now. You're going to have the Big Ten coming back, and I think you're going to have a whole handful of upsets here. I think that's going to be the norm. Yeah, Paulie.
Missouri looked like Clemson compared to Florida State. Florida State, Miami, that was a no-show by FSU. Miami, I watched a lot of that. Almost for the experience of it, Miami was truckloads better than Florida State. They are a mess down there.
I was shocked at how bad Florida State is. Now, I love Derek King. Now, he was big time at Houston, transferred there. Miami is good because they got a great quarterback there. He's certainly a great college quarterback. But watching a lot of college football, then yesterday, you know, you sort of bounce around. You know, I'm trying to find a game. You know, I was gearing up for Seattle and Dallas because I knew it'd be a shootout. You know, the Bears come back, and they did it again in the fourth quarter against a team that loves to give up points in the fourth quarter. And now what do you do if you're the Bears? You go back to Mitchell Trubisky? I wouldn't. Nick Foles, come on down. Let's see what you can do. The Titans winning that game against Minnesota. Steelers. Buffalo Bills blowing out the Rams. The Rams came back. Aaron Donald, they should just have Darnold Cam. And you just have a camera on Aaron Donald, because there's a big difference when you see a guy who's that much better than everybody else who plays at that position. And he was wreaking havoc yesterday. But Josh Allen, you're going to hear a lot about Josh Allen, MVP talk. And, you know, first of all, if you're winning 13 games, you have a chance to be an MVP. You know, if you're getting in as a wild card, you're probably not going to win the MVP. And that's why you start to look at who could win the MVP. Russell Wilson, maybe, if they continue putting up those points. He's had an unbelievable start with 14 touchdown passes. But you go back in recent history, the last 20 years, you know, about 75% of the time, it's a quarterback from a top seed, you know, in the NFC or AFC here. And I think that that's what you should be looking for as far as who's going to be the MVP this year. You know, Kyler Murray might put up decent numbers. Although, what did I say about the Lions on Friday? Watch the Lions beat the Cardinals because they have no business beating them. And Kyler Murray did not look good at all. There are a couple of those games where you go, and this is why I no longer bet. The Chargers at home against the Panthers without Christian McCaffrey. And if I told you Justin Herbert threw for 300 yards, you might go, okay, how much did they win by? They didn't win. And this goes back to, I think you're going to have not as many surprises in the NFL as you will with college football, but you will have surprises because the offseason workouts, you weren't able to hold those. There was no preseason. Every team over the first five games, that they're going to treat this like this is their preseason. You know, I love what I see with Russell Wilson in Seattle. Tyler Lockett, I remember when he was a kick returner at, I think, Kansas State, and I didn't know he could be an NFL wide receiver, but boy, did I love how electric he was. DK Metcalf, get in the end zone, then you can celebrate. That, remember we went through this phase a couple of years ago where these guys would slow down at like the 5, 4, 3, drop the ball on the 1 yard line. And I kept thinking, get in the end zone. You can do whatever you want once you get in the end zone. And DK Metcalf, you're going to, you know, slow boat, show boat. And I'm going, oh, no. And you wonder if that's going to come back and haunt you there. Yes,
it, and it almost happened to Alvin Kamara, too.
Yes, it did.
Where he sort of slowed up at the one looking at somebody on the ground. And then it's a funny tackle, though, because it's kind of like they placed him down in the end zone.
If you'd like to get in touch with the program, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Poll question from the first hour. Who's handling the duties there?
I'll handle those, Dan.
Duties. Yes, Eden.
Which would you do as a coach? Try for a very long field goal to win the game, but risk giving the ball back or losing the game and punt the ball, or punt the ball and guarantee a tie? Do you have which? You got a guess?
I'm going for it. 68% saying they're going for it.
You're super low, 79%.
Oh, 79%.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, not even close.
All right. 79%. Yeah, I got to go for it. I'm the Eagles. I need a spark.
Who are those 21% voting the punt? Like, they could take a nice, safe tie.
Although, McLevin did bring up a great point. what if that tie is enough to separate you from the Dallas Cowboys and you win that division? Which, given the way the Cowboys have played so far, it's not far-fetched. I mean, Washington's not very good, and the Giants are not very good. And I don't know if Philadelphia is going to be very good. And Dallas can be, but you know, they're now 1-2. Game coming up tonight between the Ravens and the Chiefs. And for entertainment purposes, Ross Tucker, the former NFL lineman who joined us last hour, he thinks the Ravens will win by double digits. Yes, Seton O'Connor?
New poll question. Should we eliminate ties? I don't want a tie. You need a winner and a loser. Because then everybody won or everybody lost.
Well, I think they're trying to cut down on the amount of time that you're on the field. If it's a sudden death overtime. Remember, it used to be sudden death overtime. Like, that would help if you don't get the ball, you don't get a chance with the ball. Like, that's a participatory trophy. You get the ball and then you get the ball. I don't like that. It's whoever scores, I don't care how you score, that's it. Then it's over. But they're trying to cut down the amount of time that the teams are on the field. All right, so we got a poll question here. Heat-Lakers might not be the NBA Finals everyone expected, anyone expected, but that's the matchup. It's set. And there's a certain symmetry here because Pat Riley built a unique Miami Heat team. And, of course, he's a huge part of the Laker history. LeBron leads the Lakers. He helped Miami win two titles. Head coach Eric Spoelstra, Lakers coach Frank Vogel share a lot in common. Both have been unfairly labeled as placeholder coaches while LeBron really runs the team. And not the case. Not the case in either position there. There are some key differences. The Lakers' window is this year. The Heat have some young stars, probably thought they were a year or two away, but the Lakers appear to be top heavy. You don't know what you're going to get from those role players, and the Heat role players have looked like stars at times. And no matter how you look at it, it'll be entertaining, I think. Both teams have displayed a lot of toughness in the bubble, taking their business very seriously in Orlando, and one of these two teams is going to win a very hard-fought NBA championship. LeBron, a little sensitive. He talked about, you know, what happened when he was going to Los Angeles, and people thought that this was a business decision, not a basketball one. Well, LeBron hasn't forgotten about all the haters.
This is what I came here for, and I heard all the conversations and everything that was said about why did I decide to come to L.A., the reason I came to L.A., how was it was not about basketball and all those conversations of, I mean, just, you know, naysayers and things of that nature. But I understood that. And with the season last year and with my injury, it just gave them more, you know, more sticks and more wood to throw in the fire to continue to say the things that they would say about me. But it never stopped my journey. It never stopped my mindset. It never stopped my goal.
All right. So you're in the finals, 10 finals for LeBron James. Have we found an answer to my question? Has a team ever made the NBA Finals without a starter who was a lottery pick?
Was it the Raptors? Because Kawhi was not a lottery pick. He was just outside the lottery.
Okay.
Van Vliet and Ibaka.
Mark Gasol?
Ooh.
I don't know if he was... I don't know if Gasol was a lottery pick, but it doesn't happen very often.
Last year's Raptors did not have a lottery pick on their roster confirmed.
Wow. All right. I guess there was a big question I had, like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to go back to 1992.
When's the last time this happened? Oh, last year.
How about before last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Thought I had this great question that was going to end up on SportsCenter or something, or Greeny's going to shout it out on Get Up.
Obviously, you already meant the Raptors.
Yes, you're saying before of that. Of course. From December 30th through February 26th, the Miami Heat went 12-14. They lost four games during that stretch by at least 15 points. So it didn't look like a team that people thought, boy, this team is going to go to the finals. But they've certainly turned it around. And they're one of those teams, and I think being a younger team, they benefited from being in the bubble. Brought them closer together. You got a lot of those players that are 20, 21, 22, don't have other things to worry about other than just playing ball. And they've certainly benefited from that. And now they face the Lakers here. A couple of phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Reggie Miller will join us coming up in an hour from now. We make way for our Tampa Bay insider, Ted from Tampa, who joins us now. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Best of the weekend for me was seeing Mississippi State go in and beat LSU. And the other thing, I have a really good offer for you. Obviously, the place to be is Tampa. The Rays play baseball tomorrow night. The Bolts play for the Stanley Cup tonight. Tampa Bay plays the Chargers on Sunday. And then you can get right out here on I-4. 45 minutes later, you're down in the bubble, and you can watch the University of Kentucky alumni game that starts on Wednesday. what I'm offering you then one of the Danettes down here, or deploy him. We'll put him up. We'll set him up a forward observation base in our special operations gym. Feed him, house him. We'll go deep sea fishing. We'll do some parachute jumping. We'll do some diving. We'll do some combat assault dog training. And that's all on us. The United States Special Operations Forces.
Yes, so, Steve.
Did you just say combat assault dog training?
Yeah, we've got combat assault dogs down here. I've got one myself who was injured in Afghanistan, and they medically retired him due to shrapnel injuries in both of her forelegs.
Yes, Paulie.
Does he realize collectively how soft we are in comparison to any type of special forces type officer?
No, but we're deep sea fishing, diving, parachute. Okay. When your parachute jumps, we'll do tandem jumps. So you're hooked up to another parachutist.
So I'm holding on to you. Are we looking at each other? Am I holding on to you, Ted, while looking into your eyes when we jump?
No, you're looking down. You're hooked up. I'm standing here. You're standing in front of me, and we're both looking out the back door of the airplane.
Dan, you're set up more like a ghost. He's Patrick Swayze. You're Demi Moore, ever so gently holding you from behind.
And then I'm making my pottery.
Yes, but jumping out of a plane.
All right. Well, Ted,
something like that. But send somebody. Let me know who it's going to be.
Okay.
We'll set them up. We'll put them up. Feed them, take them out, have a great time. But all the sports going on down here, like I'm saying, the Rays are playing, the Bolts are playing, Tampa Bay is playing the Chargers here, and then we got the UK alumni game.
Okay, thank you, Ted.
That's a pretty epic week/weekend set up there.
Once he says the University of Kentucky alumni game, now I'm all in. Like the other things, okay. Kentucky, of course I want to go see Kentucky in the bubble for an alumni game there. Yeah, see.
Well, he's saying the NBA, right? Finals.
Is that what he was saying? I thought he was talking about the actual Kentucky alumni game there.
Well, I'm thinking that he's saying the NBA Finals.
Oh, okay. How many Kentucky players do we have? Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero.
Et cetera, et cetera.
ETC, ETC.
You do have Lightning Stars tonight, Game 6.
Yeah, and I picked the Tampa Bay Rays to go to the World Series against the Dodgers.
No big deal.
Yeah, I got Dodgers winning. I got the I got Tampa and the Dodgers in the World Series. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. We will give you our best and worst of the weekend. Let's synchronize our watches. I've got almost 20 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I always give a stat of the day. Sometimes Seton will give me. Can I have stat of the day music here, Seton? Could you play stat of the day music?
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. They send out, when you want to post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100,000 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles to find you the right people with the right experience for the job and then invites them to apply. You can try ZipRecruiter for free. You go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. And remember, ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. You want ZipRecruiter on your team, no matter the industry, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Ted in Tampa just brought up the Kentucky Alumni Game, otherwise known as the NBA Finals. Anthony Davis, Rajon Rondo, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Pat Riley went to Kentucky. Frank Vogel, the Lakers head coach, went to Kentucky. So thank you, Ted, for maybe John Calipari will show up there in the bubble. All right, best and worst of the weekend. Back row is off, so Paulie, I'll start with you. Best and worst of the weekend.
Dan, remember on Friday, this is my best of the weekend, when I guaranteed that Army would cover the first half spread against Cincinnati, getting 5.5? Boom, Army covered the first half spread, as always they do. Want to know my worst of the weekend? Remember when I told everyone out there to bet on Kentucky to cover against Auburn? They got smoked. You lost your cash if you took my advice and bet on Kentucky. Unlike other people, I'd mention my losses as well.
Yeah, it's always – Floyd Mayweather's never lost a bet. Because Floyd always says, hey, here's the ticket. Hey, I just want $1 million. I've been around – gamblers who do that. They always tell you when they won.
I think Kentucky was getting 7.5 at kickoff, and they lost 29-13 to Auburn.
Seton O'Connor.
My best of the weekend, Buccaneers defensive lineman Patrick O'Connor blocks the first punt of the game against the Broncos, returns it to the Denver 10, setting up a Tom Brady touchdown pass Chris Godwin. Same month, same day, same year. Patrick O'Connor. How about that? My worst of the weekend is, as you know, my Heisman.
If his middle name is Seton,
then that's really so. There's not a lot of famous athletes named Patrick O'Connor.
Or with the middle name Seton. His name is Patrick Joseph O'Connor.
Yeah, PJ, yeah. As we call him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My worst of the weekend, and as you know, my Heisman front runner, my Heisman favorite,
ooh,
Brock Purdy.
Ooh.
Iowa State quarterback. Ooh. He had a pretty ugly moment. This is how you never want to hear announcers referencing your name and this phrase.
We see both teams mix up the tempo. Look out, Purdy is... Whoa, what is he doing? What is Brock Purdy doing? Touchdown TCU!
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is he doing?
Yeah, and not in a way like a Johnny Manziel way against Alabama. Like, yeah. What is he doing? He's unbelievable. It's like, what is he doing?
What is he doing? It should be noted, Iowa State still won the game.
Of course. John in Denver. Hey, John. Best and worst of the weekend.
Morning, DP.
Good morning.
Best and worst. Best college football back and Saturday of the underdog. Worst of the weekend and a topper to McLovin's Philly. Denver sports. I think we are cursed, actually, getting all the way to the final or to the final game. We just can't get there.
All right. Well, thank you, John. I was wondering about the Falcons. Over the last 20 years, no team has had multiple blown 15 or more fourth quarter leads in a single season. So no team has done that on multiple occasions in a single season. The Falcons have now done that in back-to-back weeks. The Falcons had a 99.9% win probability against
Come
the Cowboys.
On.
No, they did. They had, the Falcons...
So you're saying?
There's a chance. The Falcons had a 99.9% win probability against the Cowboys and lost. They had a 99.6% win probability against the Bears and lost in back-to-back weeks. Dan Quinn is, currently the head coach of the Falcons, and soon after the game, he was asked if he had spoken to the Falcons owner, Arthur Blank.
Have you spoken with Arthur following the game, Dan, and how concerned are you about your job status following these 2 weeks?
We visit every week, pregame, postgame, Mondays through the week. Anytime, Zach, honestly, that I take away from that is time that all I can do is being in front of the team. And I said, I need to be the same guy on our best days and our worst days and stand tall for them and bring the energy and the coaching and the focus that we need to go win. Anything past that does not help the team.
I don't know if you fire him. Like if you fire him, then are you going to get somebody in there who you might – you know, you might want to see if they're head coaching material. This guy did get you to a Super Bowl. He did fire his entire staff. He's the only one left, I think, from that Super Bowl staff. But, you know, what are the Jets going to do? you know, can you hire Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, during the season? Has that happened before? Let's say the Jets would fire Adam Gase. Now, I'm not calling for anybody to be fired. I'm just looking at this saying what looks and appears to be obvious. But do you have to wait for the season to end if you want to go out and get Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator? Yes, Paul.
I don't think I've ever seen a coordinator leave mid-season. Sometimes they've left during the playoffs, a game early in the playoffs because they have to take a job. But that's more in college than in the pros.
But if you're Eric Bieniemy,
you wait to see who's got the number one pick.
And the Jets, would you rather that Adam Gase continue to coach and they got the number one pick and then you could go from Kansas City to the Jets? That's probably what I would want to do. It's like, no, you know, I still like hanging around this team that might win another Super Bowl here. But Eric Bieniemy is probably and should get a job next season as a head coach. I don't know what happens with, you know, the Giants are in a really strange position. You had 9 starters from the Niners not playing. And the Giants couldn't beat the Niners at home. You got Daniel Jones, who has shown signs. I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. It's like Dwayne Haskins didn't look good. I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. Saquon Barkley is out for the entire year. You know, you just brought in Joe Judge as your head coach. And your GM has made all these moves, Dave Gettleman. And he would be the one on the hot seat, I would think. But Adam Gase certainly on the hot seat, and Dan Quinn as well. Yeah, Paul.
Right now, based off points differential, the Jets and the Giants are by far the two worst teams in the NFL, and both have young quarterbacks entrenched.
I know.
Not entrenched, but they're not stuck with them, but they're kind of stuck with them.
I just don't know if the Jets get in that position of one of the top two picks. I'm wondering what they do with Sam Darnold.
Look at go back to the Arizona Cardinals. They had Josh Rosen, and they saw enough after one season to bail on the whole program, yeah. Bringing a new coach and Kyler Murray, and no one's making fun of them for it.
Yeah, I look at these teams that might, you know, the Jets and Giants could be the two worst teams by the end of the year. And they do have quarterbacks, but I don't know if you're firmly attached to either one of those. And you know, Sam Darnold, I still have great promise. I think that he's got that potential there. Daniel Jones has shown signs that he can do some really interesting things. But you got to protect the football. And those guys don't protect the football. Sam Darnold, 2 pick sixes, 3 interceptions. Daniel Jones, fumbles. Dwayne Haskins didn't look like he belonged in the NFL. And it changes. It's quick. Kyler Murray looked terrible yesterday. Josh Allen, out of Wyoming. He's an MVP candidate. So you're never quite sure, and I know that here we are 3 games in. But do I think the Jets are going to get better? The Jets got better at the end of last season. Nobody expected that. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Their 2 best defensive players opted out, and we know Buffalo's good. The Patriots could be a playoff team here, and Miami's going to be competitive as well in that division. Yeah, Paulie?
I know there's a long way to go, but the Broncos are 0-3. They've been outscored a lot, and their quarterback is hurt. The Vikings, who are a good team, but they've been outscored by 27 points, and they're 0-3. If another franchise that may go in a different position, that's a long way to go for a quarterback.
Yeah, but you got Kirk D. Cousins.
Yes.
And it's guaranteed money. So I can't get rid of him. I mean, I give the Titans credit to go into Minnesota. I mean, that was one of those games where you go, Minnesota's got to win this one, right? And Titans hung tough and then ended up pulling out the victory. Derrick Henry, a couple of rushing touchdowns. Tannehill had a couple of nice deep passes there. I still think if you're saying, you know, what is surprising you the most, I would look at the Packers with Aaron Rodgers because it feels like he at least understands what they're doing. He takes advantage of his great running back, and he's making these guys weapons, and they didn't have Davante Adams. So we can talk about Drew Brees and the Saints not having Michael Thomas. Well, Davante Adams is Aaron Rodgers' Michael Thomas, and he looked great. Russell Wilson looks great. Russ has 14 touchdowns, 1 pick. Josh Allen, 10 touchdowns, one pick. Aaron Rodgers, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Is it even close? Who's second on the all-time list of touchdowns to interception ratio with Aaron Rodgers?
To Rodgers?
Yeah.
Check.
I don't know if it's even close. Like, the numbers he's put up, touchdowns to interception ratio, is pretty spectacular. Jeremy in Texas joining us on the program. Hey, Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, guys? My best and worst of the weekend. I'm sorry for my worst. My worst is watching the Dallas Cowboys secondary just implode upon themselves. You know, hopefully Jerry Jones can reach down deep in his pocket and call Earl Thomas and say, hey, let's talk, because they got burned. With a highlight, the good highlight on that is Trayvon Diggs. He's doing awesome. You know, I can't give him enough credit. My best of the weekend, though, is got to be McLovin's going to hate me for this, but watching Carson Wentz just look like a lost kid out there. You know, he has no idea what's going on. Doug Peterson made the right choice because he doesn't believe in his quarterback. Then he comes back and tries to fix the problem and say, I do believe my quarterback. I should have changed my mind and went the other direction. Jalen Hurts, I believe, is going to be their star. He's going to be the one that pulls them out of the hole, because if they keep starting Carson Wentz, they're going 3-12-1 this year, just because they have the Giants coming up twice and the Redskins once.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy. In the words of Jim Rome, rack him. Yeah, I know. Like, watching Dallas, Dallas could have won that game. You know, they made penalties and a couple of stupid mistakes. But that might be Seattle this year. It's going to be Russell Wilson. Let him cook. And so far, he's Anthony Bourdain here. He's doing it all. All right, so the... is this the touchdown to interception ratio, Paul?
Yeah, for the career. Aaron Rodgers by far number one.
Because I know Russell Wilson's on there.
He's number two.
Okay.
Brady's three. They're almost all current quarterbacks. Dak Prescott. Here's one for you. Derek Carr is top six. Colin Kaepernick, seven. Then quarterbacks from history. You got Steve Young, Peyton Manning, Tony Romo, Andrew Luck are all in the top 20.
So Aaron Rodgers has thrown 84 interceptions. He's thrown 373 touchdowns.
Jesus.
Boy, that is so impressive.
Didn't he have a season where he was like 45-4?
It was something crazy. It was almost akin to like a Barry Bonds home run walk ratio or something. Like, it was just crazy.
Yeah, I have it. Aaron Rodgers in 2011... he threw 45 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Yeah, see.
Got one ring, though.
Don't do it.
Too soon.
Got one ring.
Yeah, though. I know.
That's unfortunate.
Tom Brady has thrown 547 touchdowns, 182 interceptions. Like, you don't think of Brady as putting up great numbers. He had the one season with Randy Moss, but he's thrown for 75,000 yards. Breeze has thrown for 78,000. Yeah, see.
6 rings.
Breeze only 1 ring. Yeah. Better career, LeBron or Tom Brady? let me see what other numbers here. Yeah, so Breeze has 553 touchdowns. Like, it used to be, if you threw for 300 touchdowns, that was crazy. That's Hall of Fame. That's like 500 home runs. And these guys are just blowing. Peyton threw for 539. Brady's going to end up with close to 600 touchdown passes when he's 600. And, well, Breeze is going to get close, but, you know, I think this is his last year. I'm assuming Brady is going to want to play one more season. He looked pretty good yesterday against Denver, but it was Denver. Yeah, Paul.
Here's a record I believe will never be broken. Brett Favre has the most interceptions thrown in NFL history at 336. No one's over 300. The closest is Drew Brees with 100 fewer. He's got like 238. No one's going to be given that kind of leash again for 20 years.
I know. And, you know, Favre, I remember talking to him about it, and I asked him, we were playing golf, or we were down at Hootie and the Blowfish Monday after the Masters golf tournament. And I remember talking to Favre, and I sort of joked with him. And I said, it's almost like you need degree of difficulty. Like, you get bored if it's too wide open. And you could just see that was the case. I don't think he would want to admit that publicly, but he wanted, like, it had to be harder for him. and he loved to squeeze it in there. He loved it, like degree of difficulty. And he was doing underhand stuff before Patrick Mahomes was. But it's you could just see this look in his eye. He was like, yeah, you know, I like that. And I remember Mike Holmgren used to tell him, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking the easy completion here. And he'd be like, I got to get it in there. There are two defenders, you know, got a tight window. Coors. Aaron Rodgers is way ahead of number two all time, and that's Russell Wilson. Also, this is you have to have a minimum of 1,500 attempts. But if you look at the guys with at least 1,000 attempts, Mahomes is slightly ahead of Aaron Rodgers right now. Touchdown to interception ratio. Dun, dun. All right, more phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Chiefs Ravens coming up tonight. What's the line on this game, Paulie? Ravens by 4?
Let me see.
4, 5?
I got Baltimore given 3.5.
Oh, okay.
You want to call somebody?
No. No. Nope. Even though I had
Ross Tucker's in your head, isn't he?
Oh, the number of times when somebody says this, you know, you can't lose on this one. And the number of times you do lose when somebody says you can't lose on this one. Ross Tucker says he wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens won by double digits. Even if I knew from the quarterback himself, if Lamar Jackson says, I'm going to cover the spread guarantee, we'll win by 8 points, I still wouldn't bet. I just never enjoyed it. These guys who go, like Thursday night's game is the Jets in Denver. And I have friends who will go, oh, I got to put something on this game to watch it. And I don't. If I put something on a game, I never watched it.
Denver's given 3.5.
Oh, they are? Okay. I'm going to take the 3.5.
The over-under is like 14.5. No, I'm just
kidding. That's not true. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it.
Is it because the game, if you win, it's just relief? It's not excitement. You know, the $50 is more of like a relief. The whole game was a stress ball, and then you get relief by maybe winning.
Well, the problem was it wasn't $50 that I was betting. It was usually $500, and then occasionally I'd put a dime on a game. Yikes. That's a little different. Like if you said, you know, when I go play blackjack, if you could play for a dollar, I would play blackjack all night. But then, you know, even $5 tables, you can't find it anymore. So now you got to go, it's $25 a hand. And the last time I played blackjack, my wife said, how much you need? And I said, I don't know, give me 200. Because I thought I was going to play $5 blackjack. I sit down, they go $25 a hand.
Oh,
I was done in about, I'm going to guess, 9 minutes. And I walk back and my wife's playing craps or something. She goes, what's wrong? I go, oh, I'm done. I lost it all. She goes, you lost $200 that quickly? I go, yeah. And she thought I like bet it all. I go, no, I didn't bet at all. I lost every hand. And it went quickly. Yeah, see,
I feel like I would rather bet on a game because at least you just have the sustained period of the game playing rather than go to the casino and be like, oh, here's my $100, and then it's gone in 2 seconds.
Yeah, when people go, you know, that's kind of like we go to a Broadway show, you know, so you're going to spend a couple $100 on dinner and going to a show, and this is our Broadway show. And I go, okay, I guess if that's your logic. I sort of know what I'm getting when I go to Broadway. If I go to a show, I see the reviews. You're going and you have no idea what's going to happen. And people love, you know, that the chance, the possibility. Yeah, Paul.
I think Seton's right. The game betting, it lasts longer. I used to go to Vegas with my friends for the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament, and we just bet 25 a game on every game. No matter what game was played, you had to put $25 on it. By the end of the weekend, you're usually up a couple or down a couple, but you're just drinking and having fun. Nobody got hurt too bad.
Yeah, but this is what would happen. I'd bet money on Saturday, and then I would roll it over for Sunday. And then if I lost on Sunday, I'd go crazy on Monday. I'd chase it. And if you chase money when you're betting, you will lose.
You're the dream client of a bookie.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to, what am I down? You're down, I got you down $1,200. all right, let's let it ride. You know, I'll give the six. Let's let it ride. And there's nothing worse than that Tuesday go and write a check to your bookie day. Yeah, Paul.
When I was in college, there was a guy at the fraternity house across the way, and he was a campus bookie. And he took it very seriously. He was an accounting major. He was very businesslike about it. When on Monday, he would call everybody who lost on Sunday. He wouldn't even wait for you to call in your bet. He'd call back, hey, real quick, I got a busy night ahead of me. You want to get in on the Monday night game? Yeah. So he would call different students on campus at their dorm rooms and treat it like a business.
Yeah. Not good. Seton, did you ever gamble? I lowered the curtain on Fritzy's desk. So it, just in honor of, you know, Fritzy, I think he's mid colonoscopy right now. So he took the day off for Yom Kippur, but he also is getting a colonoscopy probably as we speak. So I brought the curtain down in memory of Fritzy and his colon. It's probably the same view as the doctor has right now.
Wow, that's gross.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Seton.
Wow.
Thank you.
I was never much of a gambler.
No?
No, no. I would do, like, you know, the obvious things like the Super Bowl and, you know, March Madness, stuff like that. Like, that were more social. But no, I was never much of a... I still don't even understand it.
You know what? I will do where you have the boxes.
Squares?
Yeah, the squares. And you go into a bar and somebody'd say, hey, you know, $100 a month. Okay, I'll do it. Just don't tell me what my number is. Like, I never want to know. Yeah, Paulie.
I know Super Bowl squares. I would always get 1 and 5. I can't get 1. No one's scoring 11. 21, I got to hope for. 5 is the worst. You got to hope for 35.
Corey in Slam Diego. Hey, Corey, what do you have for me today?
Good morning. 6'2", a very soft 220 COVID.
Uh-huh.
I want to remind Seton of our Shower of Shame action that we got going on. Slam Diego is going to win the World Series.
Okay.
That's my first best because we made the playoffs.
Right.
My second best is that I want to reopen the GOAT conversation of quarterback when Joe Montana wrestled away his grandchild from a would-be kidnapper.
What a crazy
story.
That makes
him the best quarterback ever.
Thank you, Corey. Yeah, let's see Tom Brady do that. So Montana is in a house in Malibu, and a woman walks into the house and then picks up one of the grandchildren, and Joe and his wife have to wrestle the baby away from this woman. Are there any more details on this, Paulie?
It appeared that at first they were confused why this person was walking in the house. It happened in Malibu. They confronted the woman. The authorities identified her, and they tried to calmly de-escalate the situation without it getting violent. Then it became a tussle, and they actually got into it with her.
So she walks in, picks up a grandchild, and then gets ready to walk out?
Joe Montana, undefeated.
Yes, he is. Still undefeated. More phone calls coming up. 877-3DP show. Reggie Miller set to join us in about 20 minutes from now. Seton Pauly, Fritz McLovin, yours truly.